This is the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal Podcast. I am your host. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, a podcast dude, and an all-around functional nerd. Today, once again, I and my guest are here to tell you a little bit about Mile High Con 47. Mile High Con takes place October 23rd to the 25th this year at the Hyatt Regency in the Tech Center. You can learn more about it by visiting milehighcon.org, where they do have a new website this year that's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet. I don't know who put that together, but it looks really nice. Thanks to Rose for helping facilitate today's guest, who is Guy Anthony DeMarco. He's a speculative fiction author, a graphic novel Bram Stoker Award finalist. He's winner of the HWA Silver Hammer Award. He's a prolific short story and flash fiction crafter. He's a novelist, an invisible man with superpowers, a game writer for Sojourner Tales, Interface Zero 2.0 core team, D&D modules, and a coffee addict. And apparently one of those things is false. A writer since 1977, Guy is a member of SIFWA, WOWA, SFPA, I Am Toi, ASCAP, Remufwa, NCW, I can't say all these, Guy. You got it. These aren't real words.
Unfortunately, some of them should be.
SFWA, SIFWA. WWA, who's that?
That's the Western Writers of America.
SFPA?
Science Fiction Poetry Association.
IMTW.
IAMTW is International Association of Tie-In Writers.
Wow. ASCAP?
American Association of Composers, Authors, and Publishers.
And then I think RMFW is Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers?
Mm-hmm.
NCW?
Northern Colorado Writers.
And then HW, is that Horror Writers?
That's Horror Writers.
Wow. Man, that's a lot.
Yeah, I collect them. I need to join... Romance Writers.
Well, that's funny because I just went to the Colorado Romance Writers. I was a speaker there. That was interesting. They scare me a little bit because they are so business oriented. They are on it.
Well, they're the ones that sell the most. You know,
you
gotta tip your hat to people who can do that.
Yeah. So, Guy, how are you? How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. And thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, no problem. You know, Rose basically gave me a list of program participants. And I went through and I said, wait a minute, Guy and I have never talked on a podcast before. We've seen each other. We've been in a critique group together, but we've never actually chatted on a podcast. So I needed to get you on.
And I appreciate it. Thank you.
So 77, that's how long you've been writing.
Yeah, when Asimov's first came out, I was reading some of those short stories, and I said, oh man, I have some good short stories. Problem is, no, I didn't. I wrote some really horrific stuff, and I sent it in, and I got the form rejection, but on the bottom was handwritten, keep working at it.
Ooh.
So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I had a few things published. In the 80s, I wrote a bunch of software. I published some computer games we're going back ages, like the TRS-80 from Radio Shack.
We affectionately, at Fresno High School, we affectionately called those Trash 80s.
Trash 80s. I still have one that works.
Oh, really? Ours didn't even have the floppy. We had the tape drive.
Oh, yep. I have one of those.
Wow. I've actually told people that it's like I don't know which came first, the Mac Mini, because it looked just like the Trash 80. Same kind of casing and everything.
Oh, the Mac originally, the Apple, it was not a Mac, it was an Apple, I think, came out earlier.
Well, yeah, the Apple color computer.
Yeah.
But the one that came
that
later.
Worked too.
The one that came later, the one in the that was all in one box, the screen and the keyboard and everything, it was like a Mac. Oh, I forget what it was called. It may have been an Apple.
Luggables.
Was it?
Those luggables.
Okay.
IBM came out with one, too, and it had a built-in phosphor screen, black and white monitor built into the case. I have one of those that works, too.
Oh, wow.
My wife hates me. I have so much computer junk, it's not funny.
Oh, you know what? I was just talking about this with someone. I think it was Ursula Vernon, the artist guest of honor. We were talking about she lost a bunch of stuff that was on a zip drive. And I told her, I said, well, I have zip disks, but I don't have a computer with a zip drive anymore. But I can't get rid of the disks because what if I need them someday?
First thing you do is see if they still work. And then if they do, burn them to CD.
But if you have to have a drive. I don't have a drive. I don't have a computer to drive.
I wonder if I have one.
Well, I'm see, I've gone to Mac, so I'm all Mac in my house now.
Ah, my condolences.
So we got to add that to the list of things we're not going to talk about. So far it's politics, religion, barbecue, pizza, and apparently operating systems.
True. I actually appreciate Mac, especially since they switched to a Linux base.
Oh, yeah. With the Intel and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And actually, all of my Macs are Intel-based.
They're good solid systems, so mm-hmm. You know I'll pick on you a little bit, but I do appreciate there's people that definitely want that type of system. I like poking around in the guts myself.
Well, you and I right now we're chatting on an iMac, an Intel one, actually one of the very first generation. It is the first generation, but it was one of the very first ones. It's an Intel iMac from like 2007.
And it still works.
Still works.
Nice I do have a Mac Mini.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's okay. And I have an iPhone, so I have a couple of Apple devices.
So you started writing. You were putting some stuff out there, and you wrote some software. And what was the computer again? It was a Trash 80.
Trash 80. Then some IBM stuff. I used to write some bulletin board games.
Oh wow, that takes me back.
Okay, I know I've officially told everybody I'm really old.
Me too. Yeah, because I used to dial into my cousin's BBS.
I made some modules for MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries.
Mm.
I used to play that. That was the last game I actually really played was MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries, and I was in an online league, and I still hold some records from that.
Wow!
So I was pretty darn good.
And I noticed on your website, which is guyanthonydemarco.com,
mm-hmm.
Your bibliography is huge, massive long.
Yeah, it's a bunch of sort of random stuff that, hey, I think I'll write this. No, I think I'll write this today. Hey, I'll write some songs.
And do you ever have to help Peter lug that TARDIS around to Mile High Con?
Luckily, no. I have a vehicle that could probably do it, but I'd hate to have to try and lift that thing.
So you like how I brought that right back to Mile High Con? That's a pretty good little roundabout there.
True.
I thought. So I'm curious about a lot of things about you, but since we are kind of doing this a little bit officially for Rose and the folks at Mile High Con, when was your first Mile High Con?
I think like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Was my first one. And let's see, the first Colorado-based con I went to, I think, was Cosine.
That's in Colorado Springs?
In Colorado Springs. It didn't actually go very well, unfortunately. Subsequent years were great. But then I was sort of like turned off about cons until I heard about Mile High Con. And I was like, I'll give it one more shot. So I went there and I met Rose, and everyone there was so nice, so wonderful, so accommodating. And I felt, okay, now this is how a con is supposed to be. It's a lot of fun, and it ended up becoming sort of like my home con.
Well, I feel exactly the same way you do. One year it fell on my birthday. And I posted online and social media that Mile High Con was on my birthday this year. And not this year, but that particular year. And when I showed up and checked in, they had birthday hats and cupcakes for me.
Oh, that's the kind of convention it is. Rose and her crew are so wonderful.
It is. One of the reasons why I like to talk about it and I like to help promote it is it's not just Mile High Con. I like to let our listeners know. The 9 times out of 10, there is a convention very similar to this in your neck of the woods that you're missing out on. And
I agree.
Usually run by some wonderful volunteers like Rose and her crew, and just give it a shot. And if you're in Colorado or any of the surrounding states, give Mile High Con a shot. It's worth it. There's so many great people there. And do you have like a favorite area, a favorite track, a favorite panel, a favorite moment?
I think probably the best for me are the writing tracks, because I get to meet a lot of folks that are just starting out as writers. You know, they ask me questions. I always try and you know, give them as much information as I possibly can. And they're always just so friendly. And I don't think I've ever had a bad experience in all the time I've been going to Mile High Con. It's awesome. Always been fun.
That's awesome. And to that end, didn't you were part of an anthology panel?
Yeah, actually, this is from last year. Mm-hmm. And actually, I had to skip it because I had a medical issue.
Okay.
But they still had the panel, and I was the publisher for an anthology. The panel was called So You Want to Be in an Anthology. And everybody who attended was actually invited. Everybody got to vote on what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It ended up being a project called Sidekicks, and it was stories about the sidekicks for, you know, superheroes or whoever you wanted to interpret that, and how the sidekicks end up standing in a spotlight for once. So everyone who is there, you had to be on a guest list.
It's Young Justice.
Maybe. So everybody who was there was on a list, and only those people could submit to the project. Sam Knight is the editor.
Oh boy!
Fantastic job.
Oh boy! Not yeah. Sam.
Sam is fantastic. he's brilliant, and he's probably the nicest guy in all of science fiction.
He is.
Besides you, of course. And so he was the editor. And he went through, he's the one who selected all the stories, and we wanted to give these are new authors, basically, so we wanted to give them the full experience. We walked them through, you know, here's a contract, this is what all this stuff means, here's how editing works. So they got stuff back from Sam, and he went ahead and through and picked out a few things and had them fix it. And so they got the actual full experience of being a published author.
Wow.
And it is a charity anthology, mm-hmm. so all profits from it end up going back to Mile High Con.
That's awesome.
It's going to be released this year at Mile High Con.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it couldn't have been done without Rose and Sam Knight. Sam Knight's the one that really put a lot of time and effort in it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, not to... It could have been really bad. It could have been a disaster. Because you never know what you're going to get.
That's true. And I was involved with it, so it could have bombed just because I was involved with it. But however, luckily, there were a lot of people that submitted. And Sam went through, and he found the cream of the crop. And there are some surprisingly good stories that came about from this.
So I
certainly expect to see a lot of these people to be published going forward.
And where can people get that anthology?
It will be available from us. You can come up to me and I'll sell you a copy. I'll have copies of it at Mile High Con.
Okay.
Assuming that it gets shipped to me on time.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I'm actually having them shipped out to Colorado.
Okay.
So they'll be in the state. And after that, it'll be available on pretty much anybody. You can go through Barnes & Noble or online or Amazon.
Mm-hmm. I love this because, to me, you're giving back to the community in two different ways. It's giving back because it's, like you said, it's people who wanted to be an anthology, wanted to be published, and this was a shot, right? So that's number one. And then it gives them some experience, just like you're talking about, the editorial process, the contracts, you know, all that kind of stuff. It helps get them and get their feet wet. It also is giving back because the profits are going back to Mile High Con, which is, you know, fan supported and fan run.
Right.
I love it.
I love it too. It's we're going to do it again this year too. Bertie arranged it with Rose, and there'll be another panel, so you want to be in an anthology. So if you are interested, you have to attend the panel in order to actually be in the anthology.
That is amazing. I love it.
So do I. It's going to be surprisingly wonderful collection. And again, a tip of the hat to Sam Knight for doing a fantastic editing job.
Now, and I will say this, I have seen Sam having to drag that TARDIS around.
Oh, you see, he is the nicest guy. You can ask him to do anything. I'm surprised he had carried on his back in somewhere, because he'd do it if you asked him.
And for the benefit of the listeners, when you go into the Hyatt in the tech center, and there's the lower area meeting rooms, usually there's a TARDIS set up somewhere around there. And Peter Wax, who is he the managing editor for WordFire Press?
Yeah.
He is the owner of that TARDIS and usually brings it and sets it up. So, yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
I don't know if he's the owner. I think the doctor left it with him.
Either way, it's very, very cool.
It is very cool, and it's monstrously heavy. So
yeah. Well, I think it's like solid wood. It's
very well constructed.
It is. Yeah.
Definitely made to stand up to being taken apart and put back together at different cons.
Yep. So that's awesome. Do you have any other ideas of like what you're going to be doing? Are you going to do an author signing? Are you going to try to do that?
I don't know if I'm going to be in that or not. I haven't heard anything back from Rose yet. She's still going through setting up all the panels and setting everything up. I think I did sign up for the author. I think it's on Friday, the author roundtable, basically, where everybody can set up and you can buy books and you can get me to sign them, or you can talk about books, or you can try and sell me your books, which I typically will end up buying.
Well, and there's lots of different ways for folks who come to Mile High Con to get books by the authors who are appearing there. One of them is, like you're saying, usually like an author row, the authors will have their books there and you can buy them directly from the authors and get them signed. A lot of times also the dealer's room, the book dealers in there make a point of bringing some books from the people who are on paneling, especially the guests of honor. And that's another opportunity for you to find a book and get it signed, which I think is awesome.
There's a lot of really, really good books in the dealer room.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Wonderful people.
They are. There's this one, oh my, I talk about this every year, but he brings these cool, like, antique typewriters. He's trying to get me to buy them, damn it. I know what he's trying to do, because he knows I want one. And every year he brings these all this cool stuff, and vintage radios, and because it all looks very steampunky, right? People are like, oh, this is so steampunky. But then he also has tons of really cool old books too that he's selling. And I forget where he's from. I want to say Idaho Springs, but he's there every year, and he's awesome. You got costumes, you got books, I mean, steampunky stuff, whatever you want, they've got it there.
I agree. It's a lot of fun, but make sure you bring a lot of cash along, or because you can expect. Now, or don't.
Just
is that how
home.
You get out of there with
that is, you know, yes.
Are you able to pay the rent the next month?
Yes.
I have to try that.
Now, do you ever dress up?
Sometimes I do. I have, really, it's just one steampunky outfit.
With the top hat?
That my wife made, with a top hat. Mm-hmm. And I have a silver vest that she made, and I have a tailcoat. So sometimes I dress up. Most of the time I don't. But my wife...
Oh, she's all over it. Yeah.
That's what she does. She's a professional cosplayer. She also is an author. Her name is Tanya L. DiMarco. Mm-hmm. So she's fantastically talented.
Yeah, she always has a number of costumes that she's wearing and going around and people taking pictures. And yeah, she's mm-hmm. really good at it.
Yep, and she wears a different costume every day. Sometimes she'll even do a change in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, does she ever do the masquerade?
I don't think she has at Mile High.
Okay. And is that just a personal preference on her part, or?
I'm not quite sure. She actually has been a guest of honor at a convention as the costuming guest of honor.
Oh.
It may be because she feels that, you know, she should be letting the people that are actually attending there know.
Sure.
yeah, they're the ones that the spotlight should be on.
Oh, I understand. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's very considerate that way. She's, and you know, she'll wear her outfits, and people always come up to her and take her picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she usually ends up in Westward One, Denver Westward One.
Yeah, she ends up in there sometime.
So what are you working on? What have you been writing lately that people should know about?
The two things. One is the sidekicks. I have an afterword that's going to go in there. I didn't write a story for it. I wanted to focus on the new folks. The last thing I put out was there's a public domain book called The Pirates Who's Who.
Are you kidding?
Arg. And it was written by a guy named Philip Goss, and it was put out in the late 1800s.
Oh, wow.
So he missed out on a lot. They didn't have the internet back then, believe it or not, despite what Abraham Lincoln says. So without the internet, he missed a lot of pirates, and also a lot of pirates who happened to be women. I think he had two in the book. So what I did was I went around and did a bunch of research, and I dug up a bunch of pirates from different areas, like from China. And specifically, I was looking for women pirates. Okay. Because they were very definitely underrepresented in this book. So I added them as well, and basically just did an expanded edition. That's the last thing I did. I actually put that book together for MalCon, which is Myth and Legends Con,
mm-hmm.
which was just a little bit ago, a couple months ago.
Yeah, I was going to say just a couple months ago.
So that's the last thing I worked on. I'm actually working on three novels right now.
Wow. Is one of them a collaboration with Peter Wack?
I did do the graphic novel with Peter. That was up for a Bram Stoker Award.
Oh, wow.
Based on a short story of his. Both he and I wrote the script for the graphic novel. And Chaz Kemp, who happens to be one of the musicians for Pandora Celtica, he did the artwork for it. That was actually up for a Bram Stoker Award.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really fun working with both of those guys. I've worked with Chaz a couple more times, and with Peter. We did another charity anthology. I tend to do a lot of charity anthologies, or being in them. We did a Cthulhu Passant, which came about because a bunch of us were sitting around saying, we were talking about Cthulhu and then talking about chess, and said, we should write a story based on those, and we'll have a competition, and we'll all vote. And we ended up having five stories. Chaz Kemp did the cover and the interior art, and it's called Cthulhu Passant.
Very cool. What are the novels?
My story is the best, by the way.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. So what are the three novels?
I can't, unfortunately, talk about them right now.
Oh, are you under a non-disclosure? If you are, it's okay. You can tell me.
There are two I can't discuss, and one I'm sort of in the beginning parts of it. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, if you want to just whisper it to me, no one's listening.
Okay.
I can never get anybody to just, you know, announce those things. That's okay. That's fine. That's all right.
Well,
it doesn't hurt my feelings.
We do have the announcement that Sidekicks will be
released
during Mile High Con. So you're the first. You're the first one that's hearing that.
That's awesome.
And the second thing is, we're going to do it again this year. And you're the first person that's going to be able to say that, hey, I actually found this out first.
And it just dawned on me, because you and I were talking before we started recording, and we were talking a little bit about comic books. And I mentioned Young Justice, and you went, okay. Do you know what that is?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, so, and I know why. Because it was DC.
Uh-huh.
And it's part of the DC animated universe, and it was I want to say it's not like the prime DC universe, it's like one of the side universes or whatever, but it's like an alternate version of the Teen Titans, and it was Robin, Kid Flash, Miss Martian, Superboy, who was created by Cadmus to actually, they were growing him so that he could take down Superman if Superman ever caused problems. Artemis and Aqualad. And it was the sidekicks, right? And the sidekicks don't get to join the Justice League, so they get upset. And so the Justice League gives them their own team, headed by Batman, who gives them missions. And that was Young Justice. So when you said, you know, the sidekicks, I'm going, it's Young Justice. And it only had two seasons, and it was very sad. It was on Cartoon Network. It was awesome.
It does actually sound awesome. I'm surprised they don't have at least a couple of one-shots or miniseries.
I think they actually did do a comic book based on it now, because it was popular. It was really good.
Excellent.
Yeah. So if you like that, go buy Sidekicks the Anthology from Guy Anthony DeMarco and Mike Icon.
Or go to any bookstore near you and order it.
So if someone listening to this show right now says to themselves, wow, this guy Anthony DeMarco, dude, he's pretty cool. I want to read something of his, some of his fiction. Where would you point them? What's the most Guy Anthony DeMarco thing you've written?
I would probably say I think I do better with short fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot more experience writing it, so I do have a collection out called Odd Places.
Okay.
And you can get that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
or yeah, pretty much anybody who can order it. So that probably give you the best sample of it, and it has science fiction, horror, even a detective story.
And was there, I know you did for the Sidekicks anthology, Sidekicks, was there any specific genre other than superhero? I mean, was there some horror and some sci-fi and some fantasy in there, or is it all over the place?
Oh, it's definitely all over the place.
Okay.
And I think people are going to be very impressed with the quality of writing. And these are mostly newer writers. This is the first thing they've ever had published. So I think people can actually be surprised how good the quality of the stories are, especially with Sam Knight working with them as the editor, having them go through the whole editing process and improving their story.
Hmm.
So I think people are going to be very pleased with it.
Well, and the reason I asked that question was, you know, I was trying to figure out if there was like an overarching genre, because with your own collection, you said it's all different kinds of things, but is there an overarching, anything like umbrella to encompass them, or is it just like your favorite stories?
Basically, it's my favorite stories.
Okay.
And I'd say it leans more, I write a little more dark fiction and horror than pretty much anything else. So I'd say it leans a little more towards the dark side of things.
So remind me at Mile High Con to introduce you to Shannon.
Okay.
Okay. Cause she's
do I know Shannon?
I don't know. She's a horror writer though. And so she's always looking for horror stuff. So.
Okay.
Just kind of put those two together. So maybe one of the things that happens on Friday night is the author mixer.
Right.
And are you part of the team that hosts it?
I don't know yet. They're still working on a schedule. I always tell, I love Mile High Con so much. I always tell Rose, you can put me on absolutely anything you want. And I will pull it off because, you know, I love the con. Even if there's like a last minute thing that you have to stick me on, I've literally actually sat on panels about My Little Pony before. I'm not a big My Little Pony knowledgeable person. I know a few things, and yes, Shutterfly is the best.
I will take your word for it. Because a couple years ago, Shauna McGuire was one of the guests of honor. And there was a young man walking around, and neither one of us could figure out who he was dressed as. And we're pretty good on pop culture, Shannon and I both. And
yeah.
We could not figure it out to save our lives. And he was sitting in one of the panels that I was on, and when it was over, I couldn't take it anymore. I'm like, who are you dressed as? And it was from My Little Pony.
Ah.
And I was like, okay, that explains it, because I don't know that. So,
well, actually... I've seen a lot of folks that are dressing up, or they're real big fans of My Little Pony. So I actually went out of my way. I watched on Netflix. There's a couple of little movies. Well, they're more documentaries about My Little Ponies and bronies.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it just because I was interested in basically in the movement, just to see what people liked about it. Yeah, you know, it increases my knowledge. So at least, you know, if somebody starts talking to me about it, then I'll be able to say something about it that's more intelligent than the drivel I normally spout.
Well, I did watch that episode of Bob's Burgers where Tina goes to the pony convention for the TV show that she watches, which I'm assuming is based on My Little Pony. And it turns out that there are no little girls there. It's all grown men in pony costumes.
That's sort of creepy in a funny way.
And one of them cons her out of her pony doll, which it turns out to be a very rare and valuable pony doll. So Bob has to get a crash course in the entire history of the pony show that she watches, and then they make him a costume and he goes in undercover to get the pony back. Seriously, if you're not watching Bob's Burgers, what the hell?
I guess I'm going to have to start watching. I know it's on Netflix, so there's no excuse for it.
There's not. And it's the voice of Archer.
Oh, I love Archer. I absolutely love Archer.
There's an episode of Archer. I don't remember what season it is, but there's an episode of Archer where he has vanished and he has amnesia. He doesn't remember who he is. And these Russians come to get him and he's working in a burger joint.
I remember it. Yeah.
It's Bob's Burgers.
I didn't realize that.
And it's the entire, it's Tina and Jean and Louise. And I forget his wife's name, but it's all of them. It's Linda. Yeah. It's Bob's Burgers. It was so meta, really. You know, it was a show within a show. It was hilarious. And he's like, I don't know, Linda. I don't know why I'm here.
You know, I actually didn't know that. I thought it was a take on, there's a movie called something like a History of Violence, I think it was, with Viggo Mortensen. I was wondering if it was a take on that.
No, it was Bob's Burgers.
Oh. All right, I'm going to have to watch a couple episodes of that.
Yes.
Just to increase my knowledge.
Yes.
That's, you know, and if anybody says, why are you watching that crap? And I'm watching it to increase my knowledge. It works wonderfully.
It does. Alrighty, so, Guy, we're running out of time. I want to, is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners before I let you go?
I really hope that if you're in the Denver area, you take the time to show up at Mile High Con, stop by and say hi to me, say hi to Patrick, and support the local science fiction and genre conventions wherever you're at. That's the most important thing, because you'll end up meeting a whole bunch of people that think similar to how you do about how they love reading, and I think that's something that we need to do more of.
And what are the 6 words you can say to any science fiction author to get them to talk to you?
Hi, I'm an author. I don't know.
Can I buy you a drink?
That's how you talk to any author. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Can I buy you a drink? And hey, there's going to be the mixer.
Yep.
So I don't drink.
I don't either.
You can buy me a club soda.
And I'll take a Coke. That's the way it works.
Yeah, if you go there, have lots of fun. And it's a fantastic place. I will tell you, if you want to be a writer, even if you don't drink, a lot of the deals are made in the bar after all the panels are over.
Yes, that's true. So, GuyAnthonyDeMarco.com. Are you on any of the social media? Do you want people to come follow you?
I do have a Twitter account, Guy A. DeMarco, so the @ Guy A. DeMarco. Mm-hmm. I do have a Facebook account, but it's currently deactivated.
Okay.
Because I'm working. So I will spend all my time on Facebook basically frittering away my time when I should be watching Bob's Burgers. I mean, I should be writing. So when it's reactivated, just search for Guy Anthony DeMarco. You'll find me. And let's see, anywhere else? I think that's pretty much the big ones.
Okay, awesome. Well, Guy, I will see you October 23rd to the 25th.
You certainly will.
Thank you, sir.
Good to see you again. Good to talk to you again.
And you.
A bond of friendship greater than any force in the universe. A bond of friendship greater than any force in the universe.
Lady and Pegasus flying in clouds so high. And Holy Chariot, come to my place tonight.
Equestronauts, we're brothers forever. Equestronauts, we're bonded together. Bonded together, Equestronauts. Equestronauts.
Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends, and so on, and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF&F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
It's like talking to a child.
Magic wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
I don't even know what the horseman is.
And scene, you bastard.